The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we are, baby. We're live. Nothing like getting handed off the mics and the studio from these old boys, man. Ain't nothing like it, man. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, you boys, appreciate y'all hanging in there over the them four hours over lunch and keeping Houston entertained, man. There's like you said, I'm glad you guys let me know. I didn't know that we had C.J. Stroud. So there's you some news.
Just blew the hell out of your rundown up, didn't I?
No, baby, I like it. I can always move and shake now. I like it. So we'll have some C.J. Stroud here for you before too long. That'll always be good. We've already, as they mentioned, they've already had D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick. And I'm telling you, Bobby Slowick, for me, I don't know about you, Spo. By the way, Ron Hughley is out. Adam Spolane is in, and Spo, I don't know about you, but Bobby Slowick is must hear audio for me this time of year right now.
No, he really is, and it's been this way now for weeks because of how the offense has simply underachieved throughout the course of the season, and so you're trying to get answers as to why. And he said something interesting today that I think we'll get to at some point about just like how the playbook changes in times like this when you start losing guys, whether it's offensive linemen or skill position guys. And he said something about how you got like those plays in your playbook that you know you can go to and that they're going to get you positive plays. I don't know what those plays are. Yeah. We're 15 games into the season. I have no idea what he's talking about.
It's funny you say that because we won't get into that in a little bit more depth, but it's funny you say that because I've said it on our show multiple times. It's like, hey, if you went to Bobby Slowick right now and said, I need 5 yards, man, what you going to run? I don't know that he has, you know, 5 yards is not much. Most teams at this point in time would have an array of plays to throw at you. But give me something you got the most confidence in. I don't know that Bobby's got that. So that obviously, you know, lends itself to your point there. I think we'll get to that at some point because that did jump out of the speakers, if you will, when Bobby Slowick was doing his thing. Appreciate everybody out there listening. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody out there. We are here. It's December the 23rd, baby. It is December 23rd. Christmas is 2 days from now. I don't know about y'all, but Christmas Eve is a big deal in my family. I mean, coming up, Christmas Day is obviously huge. Don't get me wrong. But Christmas Eve was always the one, man. Where them Sterners gathered. We drank that cold beer. Hung out with Mama and Papa for a while and exchanged gifts when we were younger. I've never been more excited about getting a pair of socks in my life. My Meemaw used to give me a pair of socks, but we get stoked about it. But Christmas Eve is tomorrow, boys. I mean, are y'all as excited as I am?
Today is Monday for me.
That's right.
Tomorrow is Tuesday. And Wednesday is Wednesday.
I forgot again, Spo. How about you, Tyler?
It's the most wonderful time of the year, man.
Oh, I love it.
I'm just glad I got that game on Wednesday. I got something to do now.
We got some. We can get you involved, man. We'll get you involved. But we appreciate everybody out there for lending us their ears over the holidays, and hopefully you're having a good time and looking forward to seeing your family and enjoying Christmas and a new year. And it is a reaction Monday. It is a reaction Monday. Unfortunately, the Texans took one on the chin down in Kansas City. And the biggest reaction point to the Texans' loss to the Kansas City Chiefs Saturday is the Tank Dell injury. And D'Amico Ryan spoke a little earlier, and here's what he had to say from an update perspective on Tank Dell's injury.
Everybody's good. Just to start here, just an update for Tank. As we all know, it's unfortunate, a significant knee injury. He dislocated the knee, he tore his ACL, some other things there that he'll have to get repaired. So he'll be out for the year.
There it is. There it is. It's not just a dislocated kneecap, which doesn't surprise me at all because watching it on TV, you didn't need to rewind it any. Obviously, they showed it multiple times. There was clearly the kneecap was on the side of his knee, it looked like. So, I didn't know it was a kneecap at that point in time. I thought it was dislocated. The whole thing was dislocated. We had some serious issues. Thankfully, it was a kneecap. But clearly, the leg was laid over inside, bent away. It's not supposed to go. So, not surprised that there's some damage more beyond just the kneecap being dislocated. So, first of all, the man, Tank Dell, we wish you the best, my man, and prayers up for you. In terms of dealing with this injury and staying mentally strong and getting through this injury and rehabbing it and getting back with you fellas. But guys, we got to get to, it's football, right? They always say, hey, injuries happen, man. We got to move the hell on at this point in time. All right. Should the Texans pursue Deontay Johnson if he clears? By the way, this is the longest waiver clear I've ever seen. I mean, I don't know if y'all found anything. But has Deontay Johnson, has he cleared waivers yet? Is that process going to happen anytime within the next 24 hours?
I believe it's today is when that process ends. And it doesn't sound like he's going to clear waivers, though.
I would. I hope the Texans get a shot. They'll get him.
It sounds like somebody will. I haven't seen if anybody's claimed him yet, but it sounds like somebody will claim him. And we'll have to see if he falls down to the Texans. Obviously, if I'm the Texans, I'm absolutely putting a claim in on him.
Yeah, I would kick the tires on him. I mean, Deontay Johnson has clearly been a turd in a couple of different organizations that he's been with. And one of them, I think the one that scares me the most is Baltimore. If you can't get along with Baltimore, a championship caliber team that has legit Super Bowl aspirations and you're brought in the mix, boy, that really doesn't say much about your character and your willingness to be there and wait your turn and help support an already well-oiled machine. However, I think Deontay Johnson in Baltimore is needed significantly less than he would be in Houston. And there's something about when you're a player, especially an established player. I know Deontay Johnson's not. I get it. He's not one of the top two or three. He's not Jamar Chase or any of that, but he's a really good player in this league, a good depth receiver in this league. He's explosive. And when you've played and been around this league a little while, there's nothing like being wanted and being made a priority. And I only say that because if the Texans were to pull that trigger, it would be likely that you'd get a better, at least for a month or 6 weeks, you would get a better version of Deontay Johnson because he would be on the field and he would be contributing and he would be needed as much as he needs you. So Deontay Johnson is an interesting one. Doesn't seem to fit what the Texans want, but in my opinion, in terms of just, I mean, he seems to be a little bit of a bad apple and a little bit of an attitude problem and a little bit maybe of an outcast, had a hard time, you know, getting in and mixing in and playing his role, whatever that may be. But I'll say this, Bo. I think the Texans, one thing they have accomplished, Nick Cassero and D'Amico Ryans, is building a foundation, building a core group of guys that I think are bulletproof. Like, I don't think you're going to bring anybody in here, any one individual in here, and that individual is going to splinter the locker room, or that individual is going to cause problems in the locker room. I think the luxury that they have, which not everybody has, and hadn't always been this way around Houston, they have the ability to bring in a guy that may be a little bit of a bad apple, use him for a month, and if he's a bad apple, then get him up out of here, right? And so that part of it does interest me. Deontay Johnson, the other name being thrown around is Odell Beckham Jr. Any interest, Tyler, any interest? Odell Beckham Jr., Deontay Johnson, steering clear? What's the level of interest?
I'm very, very good on OBJ not becoming a Houston Texan. I would be very fine with him landing somewhere else, or maybe, you know, OBJ, maybe it's just time, call it a career. and go get in a fight with a kicking net somewhere else. No, no, I'm not good with that.
Yeah, he didn't produce when he was on the field this year with the Dolphins. He really didn't produce last year. He was in Baltimore, I believe,
yeah,
and did not produce with them at all. So really, a couple of years after the ACL injury in the Super Bowl, it seems to be over for him at this point. I would, like you said, I think that Deontay Johnson makes a lot of sense. I think he's better than, at least from a talent standpoint, he's better than most of what the Texans have right now in that wide receiver room. And he doesn't have time to splinter the locker room. You know, you're looking at a 2 or 3 week audition, and if he shows you something in these 2 to 3 games, and hey, then maybe that's somebody that you can have on the roster in the future, because they're gonna need guys now. I mean, you probably don't have Stephon Diggs next year. You won't have Tank Dell, at least for, you would imagine, part of next season, with the serious as this injury is that he suffered on Saturday. So you've got to rebuild that wide receiver room at this point.
Yeah, you got to do something. And I know D'Amico Ryan said, look, we got a game on Wednesday. We don't have time right now to be acquiring anybody. It doesn't make sense to acquire somebody. They wouldn't even be able to play by Wednesday. Now, don't let the smooth taste fool you. That makes sense saying that. This is a longer-term play. I mean, this is a 3-week decision ultimately. And so are these guys that they could potentially make a play on, not for today or not for next week against Tennessee, but more so for that first round opening game here at NRG Stadium of the playoffs? Can you spend 2 weeks with a guy to give you a better chance at the wide receiver position to build some depth at the very beginning? How confident are you guys on the same topic real quick? How confident are you guys in what they have in house right now? What they have in house right now is Nico Collins, John Metchie, which, by the way, I think D'Amico Ryan said they should have him back by Wednesday.
And Metchie said that he will play.
And he will play. Okay, there you go. Hutchinson and Dalton Schultz. Those would be your four main pass catchers right there. How confident are we in those four guys?
Not confident at all. I mean, I'll take Nico Collins.
Yes.
But after that, it's really thin. And, you know, I want to believe in Metchie. I really do. I want the Metchie thing to happen just because of what he's had to overcome since he got drafted. But we just saw him drop what would have been a touchdown pass against the Dolphins last week. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't trust that.
Yeah, very similar over here. I mean, I don't know how you can be anyone who watches professional football right now, especially if you're a Houston Texans fan, and not have a huge amount of confidence in Nico Collins. I mean, this guy, he's there. He's established himself in finality as one of the top tier receivers in the NFL. So very, very confident in Nico Collins. But after that, man, it's bleak. It's bleak when it comes to pass catchers for me in Houston right now.
Can I shed a little light, boys?
Please do.
I'm out here on a limb now. And I since the injury, because you immediately start thinking about, okay, what's next? I'm not real worried. I'm actually pretty confident.
Really?
Absolutely.
Make me feel better then.
Well, I think less is more. We've seen C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick do their best work with Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz being the top two targets. With less of a running game, by the way. Yeah. And I just, with those two guys, both of those guys, if I had to decide one way or the other, bunch of weapons, explosive weapons, and be this aggressive offense that's going to just run and gun, or give me a little bit more ball control, game manager type, less options, feed Nico, move him around, get him the ball and handing the ball every now and then, make sure you make Dalton Schultz a priority when you're getting pressured, make Dalton Schultz a priority underneath a lot of the game, get his catch count up. If you had, and I'm talking about with guys healthy, right now, with what we've watched, if you told me C.J. Stroud and a bunch of explosive weapons with an aggressive play caller, or C.J. Stroud, game manager, a little more ball control, mixing in that run game every now and then, and making sure that one guy, number 12, gets his damn touches, I'd take option B 10 out of 10 times right now.
I mean, it does bring you back to late last season.
Yeah.
When they were in the playoffs and when they went up to Indianapolis with basically what you just said, those array of options. And they were pretty successful, and they won that game in Indy. They won the playoff game here against Cleveland. They struggled though against the Ravens. I just wonder, is that what C.J. Stroud wants to be? Like, can C.J. Stroud go back into that more game manager role? Because you've seen it this year, the turnovers are way up.
Yeah,
and you had what, 2 interceptions just in the first half alone on Saturday of him trying to make plays. Can he get back into that, hey, we're going to be careful with the football, we're not going to turn the ball over, we're going to get the most out of these possessions? Can he get back to doing that?
Well, that's the question. Look, and that's with or without Tank, by the way. Tank had a hell of a ball game. And so it's what we've been wanting as a counterpunch to Nico Collins all year long. And there's probably been two or three of those games this year where all of a sudden it looked like Tank was just back to his old ways. Reality was it was hit or miss, right? It was one every three, four games. And I don't know that the Steph Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, Joe Mixon, I don't know if that five-headed monster thing was ever real promising, to be honest with you. I mean, having more weapons is having more weapons, but when you start talking about Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud now having to juggle all these other balls, that's a different animal. I'm not completely convinced, and like I said, I would take the more ball control game managing approach from the offensive coordinator and the play caller, I mean the quarterback. Right now, I would take that. I'm not sure that Nico and Dalton, by the way, Joe Mixon needs to be used in the pass game more. I'm not sure that that isn't a better recipe for this team to win football games than trying to be that just guns blazing, let's go out here and try to rip it. All right, Tank Dell, that's an update on Tank Dell's injury. Let us know, 713-572-4610. Shoot us a text. Let us know, how confident are you in what the Texans have in-house in the wide receiver room? And Deontay Johnson, OBJ, any of that tickle you fancy? We'll see what the Texans do here in the coming weeks. That's more of a long-term play. There's a couple of other players that D'Amico Ryans had a little injury update on that we want to catch you guys up on real quick. Jimmy Ward and Shaq Mason. Here's the head coach on those two Texans players.
So with Jimmy Ward, mid-foot sprain, he'll require surgery. He'll be out, you know, for the remainder of the year as well. And Shaq, knee injury, he'll be week to week. It's just tough news. And you know, those are, you know, especially with Tank and Jimmy, two great guys, great players. But they will miss them dearly. They meant a lot to our team. We know we have a lot to pick up losing those two guys. But those guys will attack the rehab the right way, and they'll be back in due time. So our thoughts and prayers are still with them as they attack the rehab and knowing everything that's to come. But they'll make a recovery.
Hate to see Jimmy Ward go out, no surprise. Injury prone, veteran, been in the league a long time, plays the game, lights out, plays with instincts, plays physical. You know, not a shocker there that he goes out, boys. But I'm gonna tell you, we talked a little bit about this last week. We saw Jeff Okuda at outside corner some, Kamari Lassiter at the more nickel position. In fact, we saw him make a lights-out play, a monster play in the game across the middle. Who was he covering on that play?
You're talking about Lassiter?
Yes.
I can't remember who.
Yes.
I know the player you're talking about. I just can't remember who it was.
Gosh dang it, man. It was worthy. It was worthy. It was a speedster all the way across the field, undercuts it, boom, tips the ball down. It was a monster play. If he's able to cover in the slot and run deep over routes with Worthy, his ass can play nickel. And I'm telling you, I'm not real sure that Kamari Lassiter doesn't find his way inside. I know I said this in the preseason, but that was out of concern, and I didn't think he could play outside. Now I know he can play outside, and I'm still not sure that his best work and the best place for him to impact this team isn't inside. We saw that. So Kamari Lassiter, expect them to just probably expand that package with Okuda outside, Lassiter inside, and Shaq Mason week to week. I thought the offensive line played really well this week. I don't know what the hell Rex Ryan was talking about in the reaction on Saturday evening and Sunday, but the offensive line played really well. In fact, Kendrick Green, tipped my damn cap to you, brother. I mean, he went in there at right guard. We've seen him play left guard. He went in there at right guard and held his own and played really, really well. But Jimmy Ward going out, Spo, any concern there?
No, the Mason injury is kind of the one that I have more of a reaction to, just okay, because he was the one consistent guy that you had on that offensive line last year. You had that musical chairs where it seemed like there was somebody going out every single week last year. And then he was the one constant. He started every game at right guard last year. Same thing this year, but this year he hasn't been nearly as effective as he was last year. And you saw it, you know, on Saturday, he goes out and they held up pretty well without him in there. So listen, it's not a good thing that Shaq Mason isn't in there, but I do think that they can hold up without Mason, just because I don't think he's been nearly as good this year as he was last year.
Well, I thought they did a tremendous job this week. Speaking about holding up without Mason, one, Mason has not been good, but two, They did a tremendous job this week of making 95 Chris Jones, arguably the best defensive interior defensive lineman in the league, who, by the way, went decided at the end. They played well enough inside in terms of directing their double teams to him that he decided when the game was on the line in the fourth quarter, he was going to go out there and get some of the best pass protecting tackle in the game, Laremy Tunsil. He went back-to-back snaps and had Laremy Tunsil in CJ's lap a couple of times. And so the fact that he was out there speaks volumes to when the game's on the line, that guy could be anywhere he wants to be, and he didn't pick Kendrick Green. He didn't pick Jarrett Patterson. He didn't pick Titus Howard. Hell, he didn't pick Blake Fisher, the rookie on the other side. He went straight to Laremy Tunsil, and that was a straight dogfight. Now, that was fun to watch. So, luckily, Shaq Mason is week to week, and we're going to have Shaq and Kenyon Green and Kendrick Green and Patterson and Titus, and looks like everybody's going to be healthy. Juice, I hadn't seen a report on Juice yet.
I don't think he was mentioned today.
But we'll get
practice report at some point before the end of the show.
Yeah, they should be somewhat whole at the offensive line. For what it's worth in terms of all their depth, we'll see exactly what that looks like. But to put a bow on the injury report, Tank Dell injury update, dislocated a kneecap and torn an ACL, which, by the way, there's a caveat that they said, along with other damage, I believe is how they phrased it. Jimmy Ward, season-ending foot surgery. And Shaq Mason is week to week, and that's where the Texans sit right now. Two weapons, one on offense, one on defense, completely done for the season. And Shaq Mason is week to week. All right, the Tank Dell injury. We got to talk a little bit about what went on around the Tank Dell injury. No doubt about it, it was painful to watch. Look, obviously, it killed the momentum that would have come with the monster play. Big touchdown that should have tied the ball game, ended up tying the ball game. It was that level of momentum swing, which was a buzzkill because of the injury. The reaction by the team was super dramatic. How do you feel about that reaction? What does it tell you about this team? We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Steps back, now fires to the end zone, and caught, Tank Dell. Touchdown, Houston! Stroud to Dell. They score and can tie the game with the extra point. Thanks. And Dell is slow to get up. He hung on to the ball, but man, he's hurting. And he and Jared Wayne, who's up today, collided, and they are taking a long look at the second-year receiver from the University of Houston. Dre, that does not look good.
That was the play. Would have been probably the play of the year. Probably would have been the play of the year. Had the Texans, you know, that momentum, worked in their favor, and had they gone on and won that game, that would have, no doubt about it, been the play of the year. Monster throw by C.J. Stroud. Huge catch by Tank Dell. Even bigger catch, given that he tore his knee up in the process and had to remind folks, like, no, I can't get up right now, bro. My knee is out of whack here. So no doubt about it, it was a monster play. And here's a reality of it. That is a play that should have tied the ball game up and should have gave the Texans a huge amount of momentum moving forward. Instead, the injury occurs, the Texans fall apart, literally C.J. Stroud is brought to tears, D'Amico Ryans is in a spot where several times the camera panned over to him and he seemed to be kind of staring off in space. Multiple times, Joe Mixon is on the bench having to console C.J. Stroud. And the next series, the Texans go out there, and I know they had one delay a game. Did you say they had two?
They had two delay games. Don't forget, they missed the extra point after.
Yeah, Kyheami Fairbairn goes out there and misses an extra point. And then they go out there and have a drive where clearly their minds aren't in the right place. Whether it was in the moment not in the right place, or that was because they spent time on the sideline dealing with their emotions around Tank Dell's injury instead of worrying about what's next, next man up, let's ride. All right, now look, here's where I'm at. This is a tough topic to tackle, but the reality, I got to be honest. Like, the reality of it is, we had a phone call on the post game show, and Sean said it when it happened. He said, "I'm surprised it's taken this long." But Wood, whoever, I don't know your whole name, but Wood, it was an unbelievable call, and I tip my cap for you voicing your opinion. I think that's where Texans fans are. I think some of them are okay with the emotion. I think some of them want to see better. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not where Wood is because Wood went on for two. We can't play the auto because it was a two-plus minute call. So I can't do it justice. But I'm more on Wood's side of things, boys. I mean, if we're just talking football, like a couple of things. I need my head coach and my quarterback to be the most stoic, unemotional, I'm the leader, I'm the rock guys in the damn building. I don't care what happens. And if an injury pulls them from that, and even if it's you waste one series and you're out of pocket one series, let's just call it what it is. Let's not be sensitive. Let's just call it what it is. There was a missed opportunity with momentum. There was points left on the field, and there was a wasted drive with two uncharacteristic delay of games, right? And I'm going to be honest with y'all, I don't like it. I don't like the way that CJ responded. I don't like the way D'Amico responded. I'm not a fan of what it means moving forward for this team. Again, at any moment, any game, no matter how big it is, no matter what goes on, things are going to happen. Players are going to get injured. And I don't need someone on the sideline consoling my quarterback. I need my quarterback being the guy that's consoling others and letting everybody else know, hey, man, get up, get right, get your mind right. We got to get this thing moving in the right direction. So I'm just going to be real about it, guys. I don't like the statement that it made for the Houston Texans.
I don't totally disagree, but I don't agree with you 100% on it just because the guy's knee is sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy who broke his leg last year, came back from that, got shot over the summer, came back from that.
Yeah.
And now it's another thing to go on top of that. Like, that's tough to deal with, especially when it's one of your close friends.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, you're the guy. You're the leader of the team. You do need to be the one to bring everybody back together, and you need to be the one that gets everybody back on the same page. And also, this is football. And as heartless as it is to say this, that's part of what football is.
Yeah.
Guys get hurt. Again, it's the same guy who broke his leg last year. Same guy who broke his leg last year. And you just have to be prepared for it. We saw it last week. I thought Grant Dubose might have died on the field last year. On the field last week for the Dolphins. And you didn't see the Dolphins react in quite the same way. Now, that's, you know, I don't know why that is, but You can't. Yeah. I don't think that you can take it to the extreme that they took.
Well, look, I mean, I can somewhat relate. Anthony Lucas was my go-to receiver in college, and when we got to the league, he ended up getting picked up by the Cowboys. And twice, one time, Jerry Jones comes over to us and says, "Hey, man, Luke, it's a bye week. Go visit your family. We're gonna come back. We're gonna put you on a roster. We're gonna see if you can make some plays for us." Two plays later in a team drill, non-contact, lifts his leg, his kneecap, coincidence, his kneecap shatters into three pieces. Right there on the field. Dreams down a drain. The next was on Hard Knocks. I mean, it happened. He comes back, rehabs on Hard Knocks. He's decelerating to run a route. Boom, kneecap splinters in four pieces. Right. So I mean, I've seen it. I understand the feeling. I get it. I understand what's going on, but somebody has to be the stabilizing factor in that moment so you don't leave points on the field and so you don't waste a drive with uncharacteristic penalties in a game of that magnitude, right? It's one thing to not get the momentum that from the play being made. I understand that, but you got to be able to refocus and get back out there and do work. And I just, as it pertains to moving forward, like anytime anybody gets a serious injury moving forward, are we going to have to worry about wasting drives and leaving points on the field and all that? And so it wasn't one of the better moments for me as a Texans fan. I understand that the human side of it, completely get it, but I'd prefer my quarterback not being consoled on the sideline over a knee injury.
I think it's more incumbent on the head coach. I think the head coach really needs to be the one to gather everybody together. And I don't know if they did that, but that to me, I think it's more on the head coach.
I like where your head's at. I think overall there's a place to be a little bit more hard, a little bit more hardened, if you will. And I think it was needed on Saturday when Tank went down in that particular moment. All right, CJ Stroud, speaking of, and I believe he's going to speak specifically about the criticism that he's been taking over this Tank Dell injury, but we will have in full CJ Stroud next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Working with Clint here.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Just chatted a little bit about the reaction that CJ and D'Amico and the team had to in the moment when Tank Dell was injured. Boy, the text line and YouTube and Twitch and all that is it's pretty split, but boy, there's some folks that don't like old Dirty Red and his opinions on here. Bring it. I'm looking at the text line and the Twitch and YouTube. I don't know how to use them. I'm a little slow using them, but I'm looking at them, y'all. Tell me how much you hate me. All right, CJ Stroud, y'all. We just again had a nice little convo about the reaction to Tank Dell's injury. Well, here's your CJ Stroud presser on a Monday before a Christmas Day game.
CJ, unfortunately, the tough news that people expected, that it, beyond the dislocated knee, unfortunately, he's also torn his ACL. How do you, as a team, kind of deal with the emotions of this and just being there for Tank this time?
Yeah, you know, it's not easy, you know, to see your brother go down like that after just, you know, dealing with a season injury last year. So, gotta just be there for him, and yeah, it's not easy, man. You know, I think everybody kind of seen how hard I took it, but I think that was good, you know, for you know, I don't know, it's not a lot to say, but this isn't the end for him. This is just another bump in the road, and you know, there's been plenty of players who have had season injuries back to back. Like I was talking to my agent this morning, and he was talking about how Derwin James went through the same thing, and J.C. Horn as well. You know, they're playing good ball now, so that's hope, you know, and there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And I think, you know, just for people to give Tank a little space right now and just pray for him from afar, you know, let him go through this, because the worst thing that you want to hear is that everything's going to be okay and all these type of things. You know, he clearly doesn't want to hear that. So it's good to say it, and I think the truth, he needs to hear the truth, but, you know, let him spend this time with his family and, you know, try to just give him a little bit of room just to, you know, breathe and, you know, take in what's really going on and mentally just get sane. So it's not easy, you know, but I'm going to be here for him, and that's my brother. Through thick and thin, through life, I'm going to be here for him. So, yeah.
Have you gotten to talk to him and kind of tell him that you're here for whatever he needs?
He knows that, yeah. But I'll talk to him, yeah.
Anything else, guys?
I mean, with that aside, I mean, there's a game Wednesday. D'Amico talking about the Ravens don't care what's going on in this building. How do you guys just move on and continue the season? Because you also have the playoffs ahead of you, too.
Yeah, it's life. You know, I got to keep chopping wood, keep carrying water, you know, and the position we're in, you know, it's not a lot of times where you can, like, soak in your feelings for very long. You got to just keep rolling. I think that's a testament to, like, just life in general. Everybody has stuff on their plate. Everybody's going through something, you know, and it's just because we're in this position doesn't mean, like, you get to feel sorry for yourself or anything like that. No, you got to keep rolling. And, you know, I think us playing, you know, will help. You know, winning helps. And, of course, it doesn't feel the whole void of the hurt, but also, you know, can make you feel better in the moment. But, you know, I think the main thing for us is just, you know, to put our best foot forward and, you know, try to, you know, take these next weeks as serious as we can and focus on one thing at a time. And I think that's the best recipe for, you know, what the rest of the season could be.
Last time you all faced the Baltimore Ravens, you were in a similar situation. You only had Nico as the starting wide receiver, and this year you're going in, you don't know Tank, no Stephon Diggs. How much have you seen from Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie, if he's able to play, them being able to step up and fill the void and fill that role, you know, more than they did in the last game you all played against the Ravens?
Yeah, I think y'all seen it. You know, y'all seen it time and time again of Mets showing up, Hutch showing up, you know, Jay Wayne, you know, going in there blocking and doing his thing. And, you know, I think those guys, you know, have another opportunity to show who they are. And, you know, I know that they can do it. I see them in practice do it every week. So I'm excited for them, and it's a good opportunity for them to step up.
How are you just handling, obviously, you and Tank are extremely close. How are you just handling that entire situation?
Yeah, best of my life, you know, try to just be where my feet are at, you know, since I'm here in the facility, I got to be here and I want to be here and, you know, game plan for the Ravens and do what we need to do to, you know, put our best foot forward to win this game. And also, you know, when I get out of here, be where my feet are is there, you know. So that's just life. You know, everybody, like I said before, is going through something. But, yeah, I'm doing just fine. I'm the last person people should be worrying about. It's my brother, you know, that I'm more so, that's on my mind. So, that, you know, I just feel his way for him because I know how, you know, how many people are dependent on him and, you know, and what he's done to put himself in his position to, you know, come back from injury and, you know, the things he's gone through. So, you know, it's not easy, but, you know, we get this a time where we got to come together as community and, you know, at the end of the day, it's not just about football. It's not just about, you know, the Texans, it's not just about winning a game. It's about a person, you know, who's going through a lot. And, you know, we got to be there for him and hold him up. So, and he's strong enough to, you know, hold himself up in certain ways. But there's other things, just like, I hope y'all have people. Y'all have people to lean on when you're going through it. And that's something that I have in my life. So, you know, this is a time for that. And, you know, just being on my feet is, I think, is the best thing for me right now.
You are listening to C.J. Stroud as he meets with the local media at NRG Stadium.
Such a display of emotion on a football field that you show. Do you think it's important for people to see that, kind of feel that, to kind of be reminded? Y'all are people too. Mm-hmm. This is a game, but y'all are real people. And just kind of this matters. And, you know, like, I guess y'all are really close. And yeah, this is something that really affects you. It's not just a game. Do you think that's important?
Yeah, I do. My barber actually mentioned it to me and was like, he thought it was, you know, because I wouldn't say I was like second guessing it, but it was just not easy for me to sit there and be emotional, you know. But it's something that, like, we all go through in life, and it's easy to be a fake tough guy. It's easy to go through life acting like everything doesn't affect you, but deep down we all know we're going through something. And for me, I think it's good for like young men and women out there, kids who are brought up and taught, and I was taught this too as a kid, not from my parents, but just from the world, of like, don't let anybody see you emotional, don't let anybody see you down. And yeah, there's some truth to that in certain aspects, but there's also life. And I think it was good to see people see me in that light, and knowing that, like, there is still, you know, a human factor to me, and I am a normal person. I made plenty of mistakes in my life that you know, that it just is what it is. And to see something that he had really no control over, you know, and it's not easy. So that's where that comes from. And I think it's just, you know, what God is doing in my life. You know, he's softening my heart in so many ways, because I wouldn't have done that probably last year. But, you know, the new creation that I am in Christ, you know, I'm constantly growing and just knowing who he is, and, you know, and reading his word. And me and Tank do a Bible study every week, at least twice a week. And, you know, I hope that we can continue to keep going with that. But, you know, there's so much hope that we have and had, and that stuff doesn't go anywhere just because tragedy strikes. So I believe, you know, that we'll get past this. You know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, but it might be some, you know, it might be a long way to get there. But yeah, I think that was good for people to see that we're just normal people at the end of the day.
This is a quick follow-up to that. It seemed like Joe Mixon was really there for you in that moment, mm-hmm. talking to you, kind of trying to help you kind of, you know, get back on track, because you had to finish the game. You've talked about how important he's been to you as a veteran. Is that just another example of how important he is to you and this team?
Yeah, for sure. You know, same thing for Joe. Like, if I, if he was going through something similar, I'd be right there to pick him up. So he's right there for me, you know. And I think really for me, it was just, it hit me so hard because I'm so close to Tank that I spent a lot of my time with him. And that's literally like, I consider him my like actual brother, you know. So maybe didn't resonate for people that way. But, you know, I think Mitch, same thing. You know, he wasn't at the game. I think hit him the same way, you know. So when you're really close to somebody and see somebody go down like that, and you spend so much time with them, you see how hard they work. You see, you know, the light that they are in this world, and to see that, like, you know, be taken away just for a little bit, it's not easy to see, you know. So for Joe to be unselfish right there, and, you know, because I know he was going through it too, to uplift his teammates is amazing. And I'm just really happy that I have him on this team.
We're going to take three more. Aaron, Jonathan, and Sarge.
CJ, you're a close-knit locker room, and you all lean on each other. you look at the other receivers then will step up. What do you expect from those guys as they try to fill the void some of the other gentlemen they'll fill in?
Just being themselves, you know, they have the talents that God put in them for a reason, and this is another opportunity for them to go and show and prove it. So I think they'll do that, and I'm excited to see.
Jared was obviously really distraught after the game. I was wondering if you had a chance to talk to him, or what can you say to somebody like him who probably feels horrible?
Yeah. So with Jay Wayne, I mean, like, that guilt and that shame is something I deal with a lot too. I think for him, the best thing that he can do is just be around us. And I've been able to pray over him. You know, we went to church yesterday morning, and you know, I think, you know, for him, I try to tell him it's not to internalize it. Like, it's football. God didn't cause this. Like, you know, it's some things in life, you know, it's just what the nature of what you're in, which is football. You know, things like that happen. And just because, you know, something tragic like that happens, doesn't mean you should point the finger at yourself or anyone else. You know, it's part of the game. So, I feel for him. You know, I understand what he's going through, and you know, I think it's good for him to be around just brothers right now. And you know, we've been able to, you know, actually build our relationship even before this happened through the Lord, and I think that's how we got to continue to go. So I think, you know, just what he's feeling right now isn't easy, and you know, it's not something that I wish on my worst enemy. But you know, it's something that I believe that had to happen, I guess, and it's not easy to sit up here and say that because I wish it didn't. But I, you know, we got to be here for him just as much as we're here for Tank, because you can just see it on him, you know. And I think, you know, it's important for us to be around him.
Last one, sorry. We know that losing Tank was very important, but you also lost two other starters during that game in right guard Shaq Mason and Jimmy Ward. Yeah. With such a short weekend preparing for such a good team like the Baltimore Ravens, how did you all, you know, rally around that and get back into what you all need to do, replacing three starters now in such a short time?
Yeah, you got a next man up mentality. You know, got to, with your numbers called, you got to make the play. So we're all prepared for these moments. You know, we do. D'Amico does a great job on, you know, competition periods and, you know, and practice during the season for practice squad guys to get an opportunity to play against the starters. And you know, I think that's good for them. And it's an opportunity for them to, you know, step up and rise to the occasion. So, yeah, I think, you know, that this is something that, you know, it happens on everybody's team. Like, injuries happen to everybody. So, and it's not easy to say that it's the worst part of our sport, but it's a part of it, and you got to be prepared for it. I think Nick has done a good job of that, and, you know, D'Amico done a good job of preparing us that way to, you know, to have that next man mentality up and, you know, to be able to execute at a high level when your number's called. All right, you guys.
There it is. That's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud after the Kansas City loss, the Tank Dell injury, and before the Christmas Day matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. We will we'll see how they handle this week, how they handle the injury, and how it all works out for the Texans on Christmas Day. We'll all be able to sit around with the families, watch a little football, and hopefully the Texans can pull it together and get this thing rolling. All right, let's talk about this screen game, y'all. Whether I'm looking at this YouTube and Twitch, this text line, or I'm looking at Twitter, you know, hearing some of the conversations on the radio, man, this screen game really seems to be stuck in the craw of most fans out there. Let me explain what the hell happened with each one of them screens, and hopefully we can get a little better idea of what it's going to take for them things to get back working for us. And hopefully I can make a little bit of sense of them here. The tape has dropped, by the way. It's not a Tuesday, but the tape has dropped. We'll cuss and discuss them damn screens. We'll do it next right here on Sports Radio 610.